Our gospel this morning is from that great shepherd of the sheep chapter, John chapter 10. Today, beginning with verse 22. Then the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple area in Solomon's colonnade. So the Jews gathered around Jesus, asking, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I am doing in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe, because you are not my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Gospel of our Lord. Please join me in a prayer. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, clean your room, stop picking on your sister, defend your brother, listen to me, wash the dishes, and so on and so forth. Eat your onions, that was a big one. In one ear and out the other. Have you ever heard that phrase before? In one ear and out the other. Have you ever watched it in action? Have you ever played that out? In one ear and out the other. Is that how some of our matronly injunctions, our demands go among our children? Is that sometimes how we treat our authority? In one ear and out the other. To be honest, to be frank, we all have those kinds of sins, don't we? Especially when maybe it was our mother speaking. And yet at the same time, in our deepest, darkest moments, whose voice would we rather hear? When we're lonely and we're afraid, would it be so crazy, even for those of us who are grown and strong, to say, "Mommy"? Are there times when you would just love to hear your mother's voice one more time? Can you sit and think and close your eyes and maybe even imagine the voice of your mother reminding you of things that you needed to hear or that she simply valued and wanted you to value in your life, because those were so important. This was the sweetest voice, perhaps, that you ever had in your life. Well, there are actually sweeter voices out there, namely one. Your mother is a great vocalist in your life, but when we talk about the Symphony of Stone, which is the series we're talking about, built on that stone that was rolled away, we've got an empty tomb, we've got a risen and ascended Savior, we've actually got a much greater voice to hear today. It's the voice of our Good Shepherd, who lives, who once was dead and now is raised, who once was our enemy because of how we treated him, now is our friend and our Savior and our God and our eternal loving shepherd. What a wonderful thing to have the voice of the shepherd in our lives. What a wonderful thing to have someone who carries the tune for us when we are lost in this world of cacophony. That's a fancy word for bad sounds. When we're surrounded with noise pollution, we have one voice that we intimately recognize and that we know. It's our Good Shepherd. With shepherd, nearly on every page you have law and you have this voice of your shepherd you might call gospel. Over and over again. It's such a wonderful thing for us to hold on to, because it was true even in Jesus' life. Even when there were wolves, even when there were sheep who didn't want to be part of his fold, as we had in this morning's text. It was the Feast of Dedication, which is another word for Festival of Lights. You know it as Hanukkah more often, perhaps. Yes, Jesus was Jewish, and it was winter, and this already 190-year-old festival was taking place. So like any normal, good Jew, he went to Jerusalem. And yet at the same time, in winter, it's not always as warm as we'd like. That's true in Jerusalem, too. Perhaps it was raining because he was walking in Solomon's colonnade, a porch, the only part of the temple that went back to King Solomon's time, 1,000 years prior to this, and it had a portico, it had an awning overhead. So it would make sense that Jesus was there. And this was a chance for the paparazzi, or you might say TMZ, had a chance to catch up with Jesus, because it doesn't seem like he's surrounded by the crowds right now. He might have his 12 apostles with him, but we're not sure. The point is, there are these people who come and they question him and they challenge him. And notice, it's not really a believing challenge or a believing question, because what they want to know is, if he's the Christ, tell them plainly. And if you read the book of John, the first 9 chapters, if you've gotten to this point in chapter 10, you can certainly see that Jesus has done this over and over again. He says things like we see in the end of our text, "I and the Father are one." Or in John chapter 5, he says, "My Father's always working, and so am I. I'm always working." And by the way, that was, John chapter 5 was one of Jesus' famous miracles, where he brought a man who was paralyzed to walk again. And so it wasn't just the words that Jesus was saying. It was the works that Jesus was doing. And that's what he points to now. He knows that this group of Jews, this particular crew, wasn't listening for more words. They weren't there to say, "Oh, if he says he's the Christ, we're going to believe in him now. Or if he says he's the Messiah, then we're going to start following him." They weren't even going to put him on trial. This was a chance for, if Jesus was going to say another "I am" statement, they were going to pick up stones. If Jesus was going to go so far as to call himself the Christ, the very point at which, when Jesus was on trial later on in the Gospels, they condemn him to death. This was the point where these Jews actually wanted to pick up stones and kill him already, not even halfway through the book of John. So he points not to his words as much as he points to the works behind them. And by this time in John, we've seen all kinds of miraculous works. We've seen Jesus show his divine power over and over again. He's turned water into wine. That was the first miracle. John records that one. He's come in and he's healed the sick, even in Jerusalem. He's healed a man born blind. That was what John chapter 9 was all about. A miracle that you don't see in the Old Testament at all. Not one prophet up to this point had healed a man born blind. And still you have these Jews saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." What a challenge for the Good Shepherd. And maybe you and I can identify with that challenge also. Maybe we've heard what Jesus has to say about something in our lives. We've heard the do's and don'ts in the Ten Commandments. We've even been forgiven of this or that sin over and over and over again. And still we challenge our Savior, our Good Shepherd, and we say, "If you really mean to say these things as the Christ in my life, if you really mean for me to apply this, tell me plainly," when we've seen it in Scripture over and over again. When we've had pastors and other shepherds tell us, we've had other Christian witnesses share with us what is right and what is wrong, and we've still persisted in our sin. We carry on the same attitude of these Jews in one ear and out the other. It can happen on the level of our eternal soul, brothers and sisters in Christ, that God's word goes in one ear and out the other. Not because his word wasn't powerful. Not that Jesus wasn't, even in John 10 here, using his words to invite and to coax and to bring these Jews into his fold, just as he's attempted to bring you into a greater understanding by his word. But simply because we were stubborn. And we resisted everything he had to say about that particular thing because we wanted to do it our own sinful, wandering way. And so we commit our trespasses where we cross the line God has told us not to cross. And that's age old. Adam and Eve crossed the line God didn't literally draw a line around the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but that was the very first trespass because they crossed that line in order to eat the fruit because they didn't want to listen to what God had to say. You and I really haven't changed so much. We haven't really developed so much. This technological age of information really isn't that much far advanced beyond Adam and Eve because you and I know our own sins of covetousness, of stealing, of substance abuse, even if it was a legal substance, maybe addiction. Different sins that we've used to hurt others, maybe their words that we've already forgiven. We've used those words against them. Maybe their actions that are already gone forever in the cross of Christ and in His wounds. We've dredged those old sins back up again because we could not forgive. Over and over again, we have not listened to our good shepherd. Today, He sounds His voice again. Today, He says, I am a God of forgiveness. I am not like those other shepherds who would leave you along the path, but I'm a good shepherd who comes and who calls so that you could hear my voice, so that you could follow me. These are the kinds of words we hear in what Jesus said. I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, as He leans into that miraculous ability. So the evidence that these challengers really didn't trust Him was in their attitudes and in their hearts, and Jesus, of course, knew that instantly. You'll give Jesus credit for that. As He offered His connection to the Father, when He says things like, I and the Father are one, we've got a Savior who's talking about an incredible heavenly love that said, I want to be these people's good shepherd. I want to send my one and only Son to lay down His life for them. I want to cover over all of their sins. I want to be reconciled through my Son, Jesus Christ. And every time Jesus talks about His Father, He's pulling and coaxing, correcting and guiding as our good shepherd. Now, mothers know that in intimate ways. They've told their children over and over again, don't go down that road because it ends in bruises and breaks. So in the same way, our good shepherd knows that because He knows we've paid for our sins in heartbreak and hurt, in trespass and battered souls. Maybe you've even heard your own good shepherd's voice coming through your mother because she came to offer you forgiveness and share with you the good shepherd. But what is it really that marks the flock of the good shepherd? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Notice He doesn't exactly say, they know me. He says, I know them. Isn't that a wonderful thing to bear in mind as we sin, as we go on our erring way? To know that He knows each and every one of us. He knows each and everything that we've done wrong, and He knows each and every corrective path that would guide us back to Himself. He knows each and every one of us and calls us back in the shepherd's word. Wherever it is spoken, whenever it is spoken, whenever we hear God's good news, His flock gathers. Wherever two or three come together in His name, wherever that is, believers in Jesus desire to hear His voice, to know it and to drink it in. Now, why do we do that? Why do sheep like you and I flock to the good shepherd? What is so incredible about His voice? What is so wonderful? How do we know it when we hear it? How is it so true that the sheep listen to His voice, hear it, and when He points there, they follow? When He says, no, we're going to stay here, they stay here. When He says, that's a dangerous path, they listen out of love and obey. It's because His is the voice that forgives sin. His is the voice that offers good news. His is the voice that says, Lazarus, come out. His is the voice that says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. His is the voice that says, it is finished. His is the voice that says, there is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And even though it's St. Paul or St. John or your pastor or your mother or your father or your brother or your sister saying things like that, you know your shepherd's voice. You know what he has to say about all of your sins. This is true about sheep, by the way. They're not very intelligent animals. You and I might say that about ourselves. We're not very smart sometimes. You can show that by our works, by our sin. But sheep do know a voice when they hear it. I have a brother in Missouri where we used to be in our last call almost a year ago now, who gave us the shepherd staff. Real life shepherd. And it's true because he has a son and a daughter, and the sheep know the difference between the son and the daughter's voice. It's pretty amazing. If the son calls the daughter's sheep, they don't come. If the daughter calls the son's sheep, they don't come. They listen to their shepherd. It's very loyal. And as foolish and stupid as sheep are, and it's true they are, take it from a real shepherd, the Wells member I know in Missouri, they listen. They listen when it's the right voice, when it's the voice of their shepherd. And you and I know this from our life experience too. You know your mother's voice. You know your father's voice. By now you probably know your pastor's voice. My little baby knows his pastor's voice. His face lights up when I come in and talk to him. It's amazing, and even more when his mother comes in. He knows the voice. When I was little growing up, we lived right next to the football field at the Wells High School where my dad taught. And I remember hearing this so vividly. Out in the football field, my dad would, as a football coach, he would say, "Set, go." And I would hear this in my house, "Set, go." And I ran out to the football field because I thought he was saying Seth, which happens to be my first name. You know your shepherd's voice when you hear it. You know forgiveness when you hear it. You know your Father in heaven when you hear him. Through the voice of his son who calls you and beckons you to be part of this fold. Not just this fold here specifically, but the whole Christian invisible church on earth. That's what you become a part of as you trust in his name. So, won't you listen to your shepherd's voice? Won't you cast all your anxieties on the Savior who cares for you? Won't you lay all your sins on Jesus? Won't you trust this shepherd? Won't you cup your ears because you know he offers you so much forgiveness in this voice? Won't you love this voice? Won't you be his sheep? Because he promises, if that's how things go, by faith alone in him, no one, not a wolf, not a stranger, not a false teacher, not a devil, nothing in all the world can snatch you out of your Father's arms, even the Son's arms. Amen.